Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Surrender Outside Podcast. We appreciate you guys checking us out, supporting us on the downloads. Hey, I see that on the back end, man. You guys have been supporting, even though we were offline for 4 months. You know, real life happens to everybody, but we're back now. Really excited to do this. We have a great guest with us today. Really excited for this interview. Because a lot of interviews I did, I kind of had an inkling of who the person was. But whereas today I don't, I'm really excited to get to know more, being a fan from the far. So join me, everybody, as we welcome in Just Relic. Welcome, Relic.
Thank you so much. My pleasure to be here.
Yes, sir. This is awesome. Hey, I appreciate you doing this, man. We were talking, I didn't realize until halfway through, that we are in completely different time zones. So what country are you from?
I am from the United Kingdom of His Great Majesty in Great Britain. Specifically, I'm a London boy, down in England. So I apologize if the accent's a little bit... Oof. Yes. You're going to adjust my ears to this one, but like...
Nah, no need to apologize. Hey, we love accents, man. Hey, you know what? I'm going to do my best to collect more folks with cool accents. You know, shout out to Kelosaurus. She got a cool accent. We got Just Relic with the cool accent. Let's go, man. It's
the whole vibe I'm Pokemon, right? You know, got to catch them all.
Got to catch them all. Let's go. So that means I got to get Nuggy D on the show. We've been waiting for Nuggy D. That'd be cool.
Yes.
He's got a cool accent as well. Yeah, man. Hey, shout out to London. We got a friend of the show. Shout out to Land Camp. My friend Lance. He lives in London. Unite player as well. YouTube streamer. We love our London folks, man. Yeah, so welcome, Just Relic. Appreciate you coming to the show, man. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's a really, really... it's a good time, I think, to talk Pokemon Unite, honestly, because, you know, we've just had our World Championships happening into off-season. So there's a lot of stuff that could happen. There's a lot of stuff that we hope will happen.
Right.
There's some stuff that might not. So it's like up in the air, hoping for the best.
Hoping for the best. Like you said, a lot of exciting things to talk about Pokemon Unite-wise. But before we get there, let's start at the beginning and let's get to know about you. So what I want to ask, because I'm looking at your Twitter page now, fabulous resume, esports caster, host, Unite Sports, Rocket League, Apex, Fall Guys. So like, let's start at the beginning. How did you create your gamer tag, Just Relic?
Well, Relic's actually the second iteration of the tag, would you believe? My original tag was, and I promise the pronunciation sounds easier than it is to spell, I was called Iraleek. Which
Iraleek.
You literally put an I in front of the R and a UE in front of the Q, and that's basically what it was.
Okay.
And it was sort of like the idea behind that was to create a gamer tag which was unique. You know, I didn't want to be, I don't know, spicy pineapple or like or like, I don't know, robot desk or something. Like, I wanted something that was going to be my own moniker. But it got to a point where, because I'd created it from a mishmash of doing French for 5 years and enjoying sort of like history, so that's where the Relic part came from. One of my favorite films at the time was iRobot, and so that's where sort of like the I came from, the iRelic bit.
Okay.
Eventually, it got to a point where people were like, how do you pronounce your name? Like, every year. It was like, is it Irelique? Irelique? Irelic? And it's like, you know, maybe it's time to streamline the Relic experience. And ultimately it's like, well, you know, one of those inspirations was Relics from treasure hunting, from history. And so
okay.
I had the Q in there already from the French. So it got shortened to Relic and my tags became... just, you know, it's just Relic now.
Love it. Clean, streamlined, ready to go. Okay.
Exactly.
Love that stuff, man. Yeah, so let's talk about Pokemon. What was your first experience with Pokemon? I love asking this question because we've had so many guests on the show, and it's so cool to hear how people first discovered Pokemon, whether it's a card or a video game. Like, we've had people in the range of started with blue, you know, and then we've had people who started with X and Y. So, like, when did you start with Pokemon?
Oh, I'm an OG. I'm an OG, baby. I started with Pokemon Red. I was there beginning of the hype in the Western world. So, Pokemon Red, the Pokemon anime, TCG, you know, I was all about it. Whatever merch I could get my hands on via the bank of mum and dad. That was very much that was very much what I
bank.
Enjoyed, and you know, I was definitely spoiled as a kid, and it never really stopped for many years. You know, I went from red to gold, silver, crystal, got the entirety of that Gen 2 set, got the entirety of the Gen 3 set as well. And really that's kind of where I recognized, oh wow, this is something that I really love, because I mean, Ruby holds a special place in my heart. It's the first ever game that I got a level 100 in. I took my Blaziken all the way up there. Blaziken going on to become my favorite Pokemon.
Blaziken to unite.
It's coming to unite. I'm super hyped. Really hope it looks as good to play as it does to watch all of the, you know, the leaks and whatnot coming out.
Yeah.
And actually, I kind of had a second awakening in Pokemon as well, because yeah, for the longest time, as much as I was spoiled by the parents, there was also this very encroaching feeling about, well, you know, you're becoming an adult now, you know, you're becoming a teenager, you've got to stop the games. And it led to a bit of an identity crisis around Pokemon Diamond. So I played through the majority of Diamond, but I never actually got to the Elite Four. I never finished the Elite Four. And then I just fell off. Like everything nerdy just sort of stopped, because I had this like idea in my head that I had to be, you know, a quote unquote normal human being. And lo and behold, it wasn't until years later working in a Toys R Us where I got the first sort of exposure to Pokemon Sun and Moon. And so I know Gen 7 isn't exactly everyone's favorites, but Gen 7's what got me back into Pokemon full and truly. And after playing through Pokemon Moon and absolutely loving every single minute of it, I went back and I completed Pokemon Diamond. So I've basically got like two like key points where I got into Pokemon. The first time, which was obviously with this beginning of everyone in the West. And the second one where it's like, I've refound myself. I am a nerd through and through. I really do love Pokemon and I'd love to get back into the franchise.
Yeah, man. I love that history right there. So you said you started with Red. So how did you feel, to sidebar a little bit, when Gen 2 was on TV and like, it was like the first wave of like Chikorita and Cyndaquil and Totodile. Like I'm a Gen 1 kid. I thoroughly enjoy the banter, the witty banter between Ash and Misty. But I feel like what really ties me to Pokemon is the memory of being a kid watching like Cyndaquil and Chikorita and Bayleaf and Totodile. Like, how'd you feel about Gen 2 on TV?
Mate, there was nothing more exciting than going into the cinema and sitting down to watch Pokemon the movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back,
yes,
and the sound of all the other kids reacting to Donphan. You know, that was a landmark moment where we're like, whoa, what's that? You know, like there's another one. We've never seen this one. So yeah,
I remember that.
It's one of those like franchises where, realistically speaking, they can go as far as they want. And, you know, we're in a stage now where it's like 1,000+.
Seriously.
But I don't mind the idea of them stopping at one point, because we've introduced regional variants and divulgent evolutions. Is that what they're called? And like mega evos and, you know, all this sort of jazz. Like, realistically speaking, they could probably regurgitate the same Pokemon, the same ideas, just into different forms. And I think I'd be happy, because that just makes it a bit more of a realistic world rather than having like, you know, going up to 2,000 Pokemon maybe at one point.
No, I could see it if they like in the next X amount of batch of games that come out, if they cap the number of Pokemon, right? But then they mix in like, we brought Megas back, or there's Z moves or things like that, where the Pokemon who didn't have it before now have it. So it feels like a new experience. I see what you're saying. I can agree with that. Yeah.
It's my greatest criticism, actually, of the later generations, is they are trying to find a new gimmick for every single one. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Z moves because it was like my first time back with Pokemon, but really, you know, getting to experience Black 2, White 2, and X and Y. X and Y isn't one of my favorite generations. In fact, I'd probably go on record as saying that it's my least favorite. I still enjoyed it, but it didn't grab me. Mega Evolutions did.
Mm-hmm.
Mega Evolutions really got me.
I really agree.
Think that if they kept that side of things and just, you know, stuck with that and mm-hmm. regional forms, that'd be awesome. I wasn't really sold on Gigantamaxing. I have definitely not been sold on Terrestrialization. Can't believe I got that out in one go, by the way. it's also, you know, it's also the job of Pokemon to try and, you know, create those new features as well, to, you know, try and stick to the, oh, look at how we're innovating. So it's an unenviable task. I understand that.
Yeah, like Gigantamax, that Dynamax, like it seemed cool, but then it's like you can only do it in certain areas, and then not everybody got a Gigantamax form. Which made me think of what you just said, not the exact words, but the feeling at the time was, I feel like they're trying too many gimmicks when they discovered, in my opinion, the best one like 12 years ago, the Mega Evolutions. So
exactly.
If the problem was their stats were too strong, then why not just weaken the stats but keep the idea around? Even if you don't have as many every game, the idea of like the next, like the idea of transforming past your final stage for X amount of time was so cool. It felt like Dragon Ball Z-ish or like Digimon
for
in a
sure.
way.
And, you know, honestly, I don't see why they couldn't have married the ideas, because, you know, Gigantamaxing, Dynamaxing, it's not a permanent effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it only happens for a few turns.
Exactly.
And actually, I think that Unite kind of, I know it's an irony, of course, with the Mewtwo situation that we're going through right now, mm-hmm. but, you know, if you could only Mega Evolve your Pokemon for 2 or 3 turns, and then it reverts back to its original state, that makes its competitiveness a little bit more tangible for the overall meta, because all of a sudden it's like, well, you do have this advantage in Mega Evolution, but it's only temporary. And on top of that, if you were to further nerf it with a sort of like a Hyper Beam situation, where once you power down from your Mega Evolution, you sit out the next turn, you know, that seems like a good compromise to me.
Those are great suggestions right there. I wish they'd implement something like that, because I feel like they really found something with Mega Evolutions, and it just is unfortunate for the fans of Megas, where it's like, nah, it's not going to continue. There's only but so many who can do it. And it's really a tease, because there's so many characters from Pokemon Unite who have Megas, but I guess only Mewtwo gets it. But, you know, that's just the way it is right now. It's okay.
That is a story for another time.
Yeah. So yeah, speaking of Unite, let's get into it. So, question for you. Mm-hmm. When did you first start playing Unite, and what was your first pick?
So I was straight out the gates with Pokemon Unite on the mobile. So I had to skip out the first month. I did not own a Switch at that point.
Okay.
I was right there. With my now girlfriend, of course, Sof Chan, fellow caster in the space, and we both fell in love with how simple it was. She's a League player, and so this was like the first quote-unquote MOBA that
hey,
I
Sof
got
Chan.
Into. Shout out
By
to,
the, way,
shout
to Sof
the wonderful
Chan
Sof.
With the follow. Appreciate you.
I should do that, certainly. I can't believe I didn't already. There we go.
Oh, no worries. Yeah,
fixed,
we got you.
Fixed, sorted.
There we go.
Mulligan over.
You know, that's kind of my trick here. Invite people on the show, and then they have to follow. Yeah.
It's no, true. Kidding, yeah. Yeah. But my first pick was Garchomp. And it's actually, no, I lie. My apologies. My first pick was Charizard. But
oh,
then
understandable.
I started to main Garchomp, and I still love it to this day. Anytime that boy gets a nerf, oh, I am, chance for a joke here, chomping at the bit.
Hey, we like there that.
A tier commentary.
Love that, man. Hey, my first pick was also Charizard, because with, I guess, hindsight, I feel dumb, but I was thinking when the game came out, there'd be Megas, because I'm one of those kids who's obsessed, and I'm just like, oh, there's going to be Megas? But then when I learned there was skins, I was like, oh, maybe I could purchase a Mega skin to look like Mega Charizard, but not be it. And then, no. So we wait. And then I hear about a Mega Mewtwo, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it'll hold the stone like Zacian holds the sword. But that's not what happened. So yeah, I feel like that Charizard picked the first one. That was my first one. I liked how the alt worked at first where you can just target somebody, pick them up, and then fly. I'm sorry. That's how it is now. My brain's kind of been adapted to time. At first, you could fly whenever you wanted. That was awesome. But they took it away.
Yeah.
Now you got to be near somebody.
To be fair, it's at the forefront of Pokemon's minds for a reason. Everybody loves Charizard. Everybody knows that whatever the new source is for the generation, it's probably going to get a unique item at some point. Actually, ironically enough, this latest gen's the only one which hasn't really done it, because terrestrialization is sort of like a global situation. It's a global gimmick.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I didn't mind the lack of Mega Revolution anyway, because especially coming at Unite from the competitive perspective, you know, I was already a caster long before that point, and I was looking at Unite as an esport potential more than anything else. I was like, oh yeah, I understand why megas aren't part of the game. You know, it at least makes things balanced, and you know, there's nothing to complain about, and you know, then they go ahead and do it with Mewtwo anyway, which raises all sorts of questions about why the other Pokemon that have megas don't have megas. So yep. I yearn for those times before where we didn't have such things to worry about, but it's still a cool Pokemon. I still think it's very underappreciated. It's nice to have two move sets which offer both ranged and close range options.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I feel like critiques come in when it gets compared to Zacian not holding an item purposely, and then when you look at Urshifu, you can go dark type or water type. I've heard those arguments, and I can understand that, because I guess I'm just being biased, where it's like, I wish they gave it an item slot so we can hold a stone and we can have other megas, but I get it. It's okay. And what you're saying from the esport perspective totally makes sense, because yeah, there's like, I believe Lucario, Gardevoir, I think there's like 13, maybe 15 Pokemon who can go mega. So I can understand that. If you have like 15 characters who have another level.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, they're obviously meta because they can do this, and it makes things very, very complicated from a competitive side of things. Because so you know, it's half the issue of being associated to a franchise which is well known for their gimmicks. Mm-hmm. You know, by having all of these different options and the potential to go for that fourth evolution, even if it is just temporary, then if it's absent, it's notable because of it.
That is very true. So I'm just thinking now, what is going to be the next big legendary, and like, what kind of features is that going to have? Like, because now I'm not worried. It's more because I'm going to play regardless. Let's put it up, preface. I'm going to play the game regardless. But I'm just like, man, what next powerhouse is coming as a legendary?
Let's think. If I was to wager on something that would come to the game, I would like to see something along the lines of one of the legendary beasts from Johto. I think a Suicune type would be really sweet. But as much as that would be my prediction, either between Suicune or Entei, I know Raikou doesn't get enough love, but I think that Suicune's probably the most popular out of those three. And Entei had the movie, of course. My hope would be that we actually stop with the legendaries. I think that, you know, that producer letter was quite worrying to read, seeing that they were expecting these things to be leaders.
Yeah.
And especially as someone who's part of a tournament organizer, where we already make a controversial choice in completely banning Pokemon that have any bugs associated to it.
Yes.
Whereas we see over in UCS, of course, they ban the moveset that's bugged, but not necessarily the entire Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Again, for sort of parity, we want to make sure that our mod team has as little things to worry about as possible, because goodness knows if, you know, someone chooses a move and it's noticed, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, it's this or that, and a slip of the finger, it happens.
Right.
You know, we already are, you know, unafraid of making those choices, but you know, now we're faced with a situation where do we just move legendary Pokemon into an Uber tier, like with what we see over on Smogon,
Okay.
Because, you know, if releases are going to continue to be that broken as Mewtwo X and Mewtwo Y, then there's a real possibility for it. I'm hoping they go more the way of where Zacian is now. Because honestly, it's still powerful, but it's okay. You know, it's not outrageously out there. So yeah, I just kind of hope that they stop with the whole legendary thing in general. I think that enough damage has been done and enough faith has been lost from the community to suggest that it's probably not a good idea from here on out. But if I was forced to choose one, then I think Suicune as like a defender or a support would be a really interesting option to bring to the table.
I honestly didn't even think about those three. That would be a cool one. Suicune would be actually pretty awesome. Yeah, I guess I'm asking myself on the spot. I can't even think of any legendaries. I'm just thinking, I'm selfish. I want Zekrom. I think that'd be sick. But I understand each legendary that comes into the game is going to be crazier than the last one. So I guess regardless of whatever it is, it's going to be nuts. But so speaking of Unite, you got in with Charizard. I'd love to hear that. So currently, what's your aspirations with Unite? Do you play ranked? Are you on a team? What's your goals with it?
Well, I think first and foremost, the hope would be to become a more regular fixture on the Unite Championship Series team. I was, you know, given an opportunity to demonstrate the vocal chops in February of this year, and that was alongside a number of other guest appearances from other stalwarts in the scene. But you know, I want to be up there living life on, you know, on stage and on broadcast. It's my passion, and especially as part of a game and a community which, like I said, I've practically been there since the beginning. You know, that sort of stuff means an awful lot to me. It means an awful lot to me.
Right.
Ranked, I just play more for the competitiveness of it. I usually solo queue. I might, you know, the way the schedule works, and because I'm a little bit of a shy boy, I don't go out there and ask people to team or to five stack or whatnot. So I know I could probably get to 1800s, 2000s if I did play with other people around me. But there's also a challenge in playing on your own and experiencing all the Pokemon, because that's kind of the thing. As much as I would consider myself a Garchomp main, I never stick to just one Pokemon. I always look at what the rest of the team is picking, and I fill. But not only that, if I lose a game, then I've got another, like, real nerdy, I've got like loads of lines, like one attacker, one all-rounder, one defender, one speedster, one supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I will choose from that selection. If I lose a game, it's on to the next five. If I win a game, I'm going to stick on that five. I lose the next game, I'm on to the other five. And it means that I'm continually playing different Pokemon, getting used to them. And that's great just for all-round game knowledge on the caster front, because rather than just reading about it, I'm experiencing it in-game.
That's pretty smart to pick different Pokemon and give experience from different roles. A lot of folks will just stick to the one or whatever is currently popular and strong, and not what I think.
It's a smart choice. It's a smart choice. Trust me. Like, it's the right choice if you want to play and have success.
Yeah, totally get that. But I feel like folks who are looking to get better should take time and try different roles, different mons to, you know, broaden their skill set. Therefore, when they get into different scenarios, because sometimes people will queue up, only play one or two characters, and then they get snapped up, and now they're stuck in a scenario where it's like they don't have a third or even know how to play a defender or supporter. A lot of people just play attacker, jungler, all-rounder, you know?
Yeah. Like, if there's any advice I'd give anyone who's like new to Unite and they're looking to find what they're good at, I'd give every single Pokemon in the game 10 games. If you don't like it after the 10 games, you're never going to gel with it. Best to leave it be. But in those 10 games, you can also discover if you're actually cracked with it and if you actually enjoy the play style, if you want to learn about it a little bit more. And that might give you a wider selection. But honestly, if you're looking to go pro, go competitive, that's not a bad thing. To be a one-trick pony in Unite Esports as it is now, you're not going to find much success, because especially with draft mode, you got to be willing to have one, two, three, maybe even four mains effectively that you can go onto.
Right. And yeah, and draft mode is a whole other thing outside of rank that people who only play rank don't even experience. So yeah, more to that point of get yourself some skills and try different characters out. Be well rounded and don't just play all rounders. All right, folks, that's the lesson today. So next question. I want to know about your involvement with Unite Battle Hub, but like, can you start with explaining to us who may not know what Unite Battle Hub is and then what you do with the organization?
Sure. So Unite Battle Hub is right up there in terms of Pokemon Unite grassroots. We put on tournaments on a monthly basis. Usually there's maybe 1 or 2 weeks off maximum most months of the year. In fact, the only month that we've really taken off is August for the World Championships. Mm-hmm. Currently, we run an open series, which has no prize pool, but is very much intended as a, if you want to keep yourself warm for future tournaments,
yeah.
If you want to try a new composition, or if you're looking for the first ever tournament that you get to be a part of, then that's the one to go for. And we have two paid tournaments. We have Copa Galactica, which is kind of like the outlier. It's a Brazil exclusive tournament, $100, take it all or go home effectively. Really mm-hmm. exciting, double Elim bracket. And the same sort of format is utilized in Double Trouble, which is by far and away our most successful set of tournaments, NA and EU based. $250 prize pool with $200 for the winners, $50 for second. And we've seen a lot of the top teams through our doors, so the likes of Nouns Esports, Luminosity, TTV, you know, a bunch of well-known, Entity 7 as well, one of the top Mexican teams. A lot of teams who like to utilize it for practice. It's different from scrims. Like, I know a lot of teams enjoy their scrims and whatnot, but there is nothing quite like the competitive environment. And that's what we enjoy producing. You know, we consider ourselves the highest quality, most consistent grassroots organizers in the scene at the moment. And as for me personally, I am not just a caster, but I'm also a co-founder, along with the aforementioned Soph Chan and Digital Bacon and Shane, previously of the Pokemon Reddit. But I'm also talent director, so I have a very heavy hand in ensuring who comes through the doors to ultimately commentate on broadcast, whilst also having a say on other hires and ultimately the direction of where we want to take the org.
Man, I love to hear that because I've seen it from the distance. I didn't know too much about it. And then, of course, I've seen your profile. So hearing this backstory, what it's about, powerful grassroots effort where you guys are leading the scene and helping folks get their skill up and be ready for high level competition outside of scrims and private Discord matches. So cool to hear. I used to play a card game called Hearthstone, produced by Blizzard.
Yes.
So when I see Unite Battle Hub, it reminds me of the number of, back then, 2014, 2018 range of people who would put organizations together such like this to host tournaments for people to jump into, get their feet wet, get in the scene, and meet folks, get their skill up, and things of that nature. So very exciting to hear all this and get to meet you and learn about Battle Hub. Because I would like to talk to some folks and get some teams together and jump into some of these. I used to play in a lot of a lot of Unite tournaments, but that was like over a year ago. And I've been streaming the game since it came out, just solo queue. And then at first we had teams, but you know, over time with anything, people come and go. So the original team that I had, they had left and stopped playing. So just kind of been focused on streaming, making podcasts and doing my thing. But I also would like to add that to my repertoire as well. Just playing in tournaments and, you know, whatever the results may be, it'll be that, but just getting that experience I think would be cool. So shout out to Unite Battle Hub, definitely, man.
Yeah, I mean, open series is perfect for that sort of situation, you know. Yeah. It's just get four of your mates together, or alternatively, I previously mentioned we have a close connection with the Pokemon Unite subreddit via one of our co-founders, Shane, and you know, we have a section of that Discord where you can find other people to team with. So even if you want to experience it on your own and team with people at the last minute, you can do that. You know, that's a viability. And ultimately, we wanted to provide that consistent experience, because when we got started just over a year ago, you know, we were coming into it was just before Worlds in London. And then, of course, it really got going after Worlds, where, you know, we're looking around at the scene and there might be the odd tournament here or there. You know, you might, Unite Mics might do something, but by that point, Victory Road had sort of tailored off. There wasn't much from that side of things.
Right.
We knew that the Unite European Cup hosted by Pump was going to be happening pretty soon around that time as well. But, you know, what about the rest of the time? And so there was a real opportunity for us to get in there and ultimately give the community something that that they deserve. And it's why we hold ourselves to our own standards. It, you know, going back to the why we ban whole Pokemon rather than just the movesets situation. You know, we believe in competitive integrity, and as much as we trust players to do to not have a finger slip up, for example, on what move they're selecting, at the same time it's still a possibility, and we would rather not take the risk and just throw the Pokemon in the ban pile. And to be honest, it makes things a little bit more interesting as well, especially if it's something in the meta. It forces teams to choose something different, and as much as players might not enjoy that on the surface, it actually makes them better in the long run, because they've got to think on their feet.
They really do. And the more I find people are in that scenario, it either make or break them. But even if you're broken, like, you'll learn from it and get better, because you'll be better than somebody who wasn't in that scenario. So that is also a great, you got great viewpoints, man. Shout out to you. That's a very smart point of view. So, question, with this being September, you know, Worlds just ended, considered the off season, is there a date for the first Unite Battle Hub tournament, or is it still in the works?
There is a date. I don't know whether our socials have posted anything yet.
Okay.
I can get the date for you. It's going to be September 12th, so in just over a week's time.
Ooh, okay.
That is that's Open Series North America.
Got it.
So I imagine that the full announcement will probably go out early next week, but it's the same slate as usual. Three sets of Open Series in three different regions: Copa Galactica for Brazil, and then Double Trouble for NA and EU, and that'll take us to the end of September. And I don't know whether we're doing anything special for October. We might actually have some unique events to sort of split up the usual formula until the end of the year, but we're still awaiting some confirmation on those ones.
Okay. So that was September 12th, you said?
September 12th, correct.
September 12th.
Open Series North America.
All right, that's beautiful. So anybody listening, I guess, you know, for those live, you guys got the heads up to know now. We post our episodes on Fridays, so when this comes out, everybody who will check this out on YouTube, watching and listening with downloads, will know the date. September 12th, Unite Battle Hub is back on the scene. I'm excited for that, man.
And following at Unite Battle Hub would definitely be the play, by the way, because all of the links that you need to sign up and all of the information and whatnot, all of it goes through there.
Yeah, make sure you guys definitely go follow, like me, you can see on screen here for those watching, Unite Battle Hub on Twitter. Or is it X? Twitter X?
I've turned to calling it Twitex to please both parties. Yeah.
Shout out to Nuggy D. He calls it Twix. I thought that was funny. I was like, that's kind of cute.
That's good.
Called Twix.
I don't know if that'd be a third brand infringement though.
Oh dang, one of those two sides should have thought of that, but that's okay. Yeah. That's all right. But yeah, make sure you guys follow Unite Battle Hub to stay up to date. Question, does Unite Battle Hub have a website or a Discord, any other base outside of Twitter, or is Twitter the main focus for information?
Twitter is the main focus, purely from a Unite Battle Hub perspective. We, again, utilize our connections with the Pokemon Unite subreddit as well to get in contact with our community and for the community to get in contact with the mods, most crucially. So if you are a part of the Pokemon Unite subreddit, then you'll be able to find a link to the Discord through there. I believe that on our link tree, we have a link to the Discord as well, I want to say. I'm not entirely sure what the last update was on that front, since it's been a break for all of us, of course, across August. But those are sort of the main hubs, apart from the Twitch page, where of course we broadcast everything, and the Battlefy/community gaming pages, where we host the tournaments themselves.
Love it. Lots of connections. Like every episode, I will definitely make sure to grab all the proper links so that it's in the description, so people can find all of the access for Unite Battle Hub in the Pokemon subreddit. I think I'm in there, but I gotta double check. I'm pretty sure though. Mm. So excited for that. So you said your goal obviously is to be off when World Championship is happening. So are we talking about Unite Battle Hub coming back September through next July?
Yes. I mean, that is the plan as sort of like a guide marker, I guess, because, you know, ultimately, and you know, this is the part where we kind of got to be frank about it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for this first year, we have all been doing it for free, effectively. So
right. We've
been incredibly fortunate to have our partnership with Community Gaming, who provide the prize pools for both Double Trouble and Copa Galactica. But unfortunately, you know, the prize pools do not cover paying talent, which, you know, this is a passion project for all of us. And I think it's a testament to how much everybody wants to see it succeed by having, you know, the likes of Stalwarts, Zoinks, Doobsnacks as a part of our roster, you know, newer casters into the UCS roster, like Hello, Wonder Chef, both here as well. Mm-hmm. You know, community folks like Zeroin and Alex and Curly, you know, both of them made their casting debuts with us as well. So, you know, there's a lot of people pulling together to make it work, but, you know, we can't go on forever as a free operation. So, you know, we are very much looking for those sponsorships. We are very much looking for the ability to, at the very least, compensate work to a decent level. You know, we're not asking for like thousands per day or whatnot, but, you know, if we don't see much progress within, as you say, the next 8 months, then unfortunately we might have to look to shut down. We're also looking at expanding into other games as the Battle Hub brand, so we might be able to continue via those avenues as well.
Okay.
But yes, you know, the hope is that we will be here from this September to next July, confirmed, doing a bunch of different things. But, you know, the sooner that we get money through the door to be able to actually, A, pay our staff and then go on to expand operations from there, the better.
No, you're right about that. And yeah, shout out to Curly Q, because now I think about it, we had Curly and Psyche on the show. Fantastic episode. Great interview.
Lovely people.
Lovely people. It was awesome. Funny time. The first time I heard about Battle Hub, actually, was when Curly tweeted about being a caster on there. So thank you for mentioning her. That's a good point. I totally forgot about that. See, you guys are doing great things, and I totally understand. And you're right. You know, it's going to be difficult to maintain such a project and then looking to scale it into greater talent if you're not able to compensate. So I want to do everything I can to help get your messaging out, get you the sponsors, make this a project, you know, a passion project that is going to turn profit, and then be able to take care of the folks that are part of it and put all that time into it. Because time is money. So like we all know this, there's no shying away from it. It's just being open and honest. So it's great to have ideas and do things, but like you're saying, at a certain point, it's got to be able to compensate the folks putting time in to be able to take care of their lives and bills. I get you.
Yeah, I mean, it's already been a success in my mind.
Oh, no doubt.
The fact that we are able to draw hundreds of concurrent viewers, you know, it's 100 to 350, I think, is our usual concurrent viewer amount, which is insane. You know, we've been able to grow to over 1,500 followers on both platforms. I want to say it's over 2,000 followers actually for Unite Battle Hub on Twitch, which is insane. And
that's beautiful.
Considering that we don't get like as much coverage, I think, as say your Unite Mics tournaments or anything that Spragles or Chris Heroes is involved in.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty darn good, actually. And we're very fortunate that the people who have discovered us have done a lot to spread the good word. But you know, the key factor for a lot of these players, honestly, is the point that you touch upon yourself, where, you know, at the end of the day, time is money. And players will be a lot more likely to sign up for your tournaments if there's a good prize pool at the end of it. And as much as we're, you know, really happy with $250 for Double Trouble, at the same time, it would be a complete game changer to see an extra O added onto that for a $2,500 prize pool. Because then it's like, oh wow, you know, we're talking about serious cash here. We wouldn't be able to like do a prize pool for like an entire top eight or anything, but 2,500 split between the top four is fantastic. You know, that's on the way to what we see in UCS, really. I mean, it is the stepping stone that ultimately we would love to be between starting in grassroots and then going on to the big leagues with championship series.
Yeah, man. Even when you said that extra zero, my eyes popped up. I was like, oh man, 2,500 sounds pretty nice right now.
Yeah.
Putting that time in. Cause I'm thinking of like, I haven't done it in Unite, but in Hearthstone, getting deep into rounds. And it's like, I'm right before that top eight. Some I've lost top 16, but then I got through the top eight. So I'm just thinking like grinding these Unite games, playing coordinated, making call outs, all the practice you put in, like that would feel pretty nice to get a nice payout after winning a tournament.
Exactly. And like I say, the bigger prize pool with it should come more guaranteed that there's going to be money on the table to compensate the team that ultimately puts on the show in the first place. And I'm not just talking about in front of camera, of course. I'm talking about the dedicated mod team. I feel like, you know, mods get shafted a lot of the time in terms of like how people, you know, players react to decisions and whatnot. But we've got such a great team. We've got such a great team behind the scenes, and that includes producers and observers as well, who without them, the show literally doesn't go on either. So
literally doesn't happen.
Exactly. To be able to give them what they deserve for all of the effort and time they've given us, you know, that is the next big goal on my personal agenda. I see myself as a father figure to all of them. I want all of my babies to be happy.
Yeah.
And I want them to earn what they deserve.
Hey, I agree with that, man. Like, knowing that somebody's got your back for all the time that you're putting in. Like, there's many different industries we could jump into, but I feel like every industry has that 2 to 3 jobs where it's like, if they weren't here, none of this would happen. But by structure, they don't get any shine. There's always going to be a front man or a face that gets all the adoration and stuff like that. So like when you talk about mods and producers and people in the back end, like if they're not there, like you said, literally nothing happens. The show doesn't happen. So props to you for being someone who recognizes that, and you have a focus of making sure they feel that love from you and making sure everything is good on their side versus putting all this work in. And then am I going to get a pat on the back? Am I going to get a thanks, a thumbs up, anything like that? So I'm thinking of me streaming, like there's so much work that goes into putting on a stream, being entertaining, producing, all the back work of making sure your OBS is set up, all the settings, et cetera, et cetera. So like I haven't produced an event, but to think of people that you're talking about who work for you and help you out in your mission and your goal, like, just big props to you, man, for being somebody who wants to do that. Cause like, it's rare to even hear that. Honestly, it's really rare.
They deserve it though. You know, they deserve it. People can say as much as they like that everyone's equally important on a production, which, you know, it is true to a certain extent. Cause I mean, goodness, I don't know whether you saw the B stream for Pokemon Unite World Championships, but you know, there's something really lacking without commentary there. It's great that they showed the games in the first place. That was fantastic. But, you know, to not have any commentary, it was almost eerie.
Yeah.
But again, those commentators would only have radio commentary to do if it wasn't for production. So, yes, those people and the mods who make sure that everything functions as close to clockwork as possible, you know, they're the real ones. They're the real ones. The casters, the talent themselves, eccentric, exciting, wonderful. But, you know, we really are like the frosting on top of the cake, not the cake itself.
Yeah. Hey, frosting is sweet, man. You need that frosting. It's true. Hold on. Yeah. You need that.
It enhances the experience.
It really does. Well, it makes the experience. I can't eat a cake without frosting. This is a bunch of like, bleh, I don't know. I'm gonna need some water.
It's weird to think of a nude cake in a way.
Yeah, it is weird. So let's take a guess here. Let's say they reset the field. They weaken, I don't want to use the word nerf, but whatever. They weaken Mewtwo Y and X. They release Blaziken. Do you think with Mewtwo X and Y powered down, there's going to be a new meta to be formed? Or does each team still have a Mewtwo? Ranked mode, of course.
Oh, in ranked? I don't see Mewtwo going away for a long time. Right. There will have to be significant changes in that direction, you know, to weaken the mega form and indeed the base form to make a difference. Because mm-hmm. it's only now where we're starting to see Zacian not picked often. But I think a lot of that is because Mewtwo's out now. You know, that's the new hype. That's the new thing.
That's the new hotness
to be on. Yeah. So yeah, I don't see solo queue changing too much. In the short term, I don't see the bans on Mewtwo's X or Y being lifted short term either. Mm. And I think that's a great thing for the meta right now, because we saw it as early as the World Championships with a lot of Pokemon released into the wild, so to speak. There were very few ban options. In fact, I think I'm correct in saying Mewtwo was the only thing which was shadow banned for the entire thing. You know, we're seeing, you know, Zacian being pulled out by someone like Rin, and he's one of the only ones to really do it, but he finds so much success with it. Mm-hmm. As recently as last week, I was casting Underdunk with Zoinks and Caleb Peng, and the wild compositions that we were seeing that actually found success was crazy. I mean, mm-hmm. It wasn't so long ago we were talking about two defender meta and how that's the thing to go for. If you don't have two defenders and a support, you're kind of letting yourself down. But there was one composition in particular which had no defenders. Like, their spine was formed from a couple of all-rounders and a support.
Yeah.
And it looks incredible. So I think the meta, actually, excluding Mewtwo, is in a really good place right now. There's a lot of different... Like, there's things that you wouldn't choose, certainly, but there's a lot of choice on the table. There's a big enough pool where you can have 10 different Pokemon, two bans, and there's still ones that would be competitively viable, but they just missed out on selection that one time.
Right. I love the way you put that, because it's cool to see Pokemon that aren't often picked, and then different team comps that you're not used to, because it's not just the team comp and then the skills or abilities the Pokemon has. Now we're talking about, in addition, the player and how good they can play it and how the team gels. I like seeing people who make different picks that people aren't used to, but then they do amazing with it. Because that just shows me, we were talking earlier about practicing in your off time and not always playing the same on. So I was also lurking, watching Underdunk, and that was pretty, really exciting. Shout out to you, Caleb Pang, and Zoinks. That was an awesome time. I forgot about that too. I watch a lot of Twitch. I just kind of forget until someone says it. I'm like, oh yeah, I was lurking.
Yeah, no, I call it the Overlord effect. I mean, speaking of worlds, Overlord has brought Venusaur back into prominence. All of a sudden, he rocks both Beamasaur and Petal Dance Venusaur. Both look insane. And I think that is the most exciting thing about this offseason for me, given that not too much changes, that we see significant nerfs or, you know, significant weakening to Mewtwo in both mega forms and base forms. And if we see some Pokemon uplifted, maybe small buffs to likes of Aegislash, more major surgery to the likes of Serena, perhaps. I think we could be entering the first time in Unite Esports history where it really is the player and the team in draft that makes the big difference, not what Pokemon you're selecting. That's so exciting to me.
No, that really is. Because watching Worlds and other streams that have draft mode, I actually get like 90% of my enjoyment just watching the draft. Because when I see a certain pick or two picks, in my head, I'm like, okay, they should go pick this and that. But then when they don't, I'm like, what the heck? Like, there's one time when a team left Umbreon and Lapras on the table. So Team A got to pick both. And I could, because Team B had the choice, but they didn't choose it. So then Team A got Lapras first and then Umbreon after. I was like, that's crazy that you would just like leave that. Like, I'm not saying like Lapras or Umbreon is going to stop the other, but like you said, some folks out there have the mindset of two defenders and a supporter. So in that draft mode, I was like, wow, you had the choice to get Umbreon. You did not take it. And now they have Blissey, Lapras, Umbreon. Like, good luck. I love watching drafts.
Oh, it's so much fun. I'm hoping that we'll see an expansion to two bans. So we'll have like... We'll have one ban per team and then a set of picks and then another two bans per team followed by the next set of picks. And of course, that would hopefully mean the end of both teams picking bans at the same time.
Yeah.
Because of course, you know, if you find that you've both landed on the same band, then it kind of
negates it. Yeah.
You know, it sort of negates the point of a band in the first place, right? So,
right.
You know, we see often the bands lean more towards the front line of a Unite composition. It's usually a defender, usually Lapras Slowbro at the mm-hmm. moment. You'll see Umbreon thrown in there. Sometimes you'll see target bands. And then how you enter the draft really depends on your methodology. There's two sort of, or say ideology rather, there's two sorts of paths that you can follow. You either go safe and you look to form the core, the front line of your team, picking what other, well, you know, what defenders or supporters are still on the table first before looking to your more offensive options, or you go for your objective secure route. So that's where you'll see Leafeon often getting picked at the moment as the first choice, because then you know, okay, with Solar Blade, I've got instant oodles of damage that mm-hmm. I can throw down into the set of clouds, onto mega objectives. You know, we might see if there's nerfs to, or sorry, if there's buffs to Espeon again, we might see Espeon thrown into that slot. So, you know, there's a lot of room for flexibility, and more tweaks to the right Pokemon will make that phase of things even more exciting. Add the extra bands in, you know, that's a lot of tactical depth that you can go into, and I don't envy the coaches on that front. Their work is cut out for them looking to try and figure out things on the fly.
No, you're right about that. When you said that band system, it made me think, I forget if it was Heroes of the Storm or whatever game I used to play, where there was that first set of bands, there was a couple picks, and then it was more bands after. That would be kind of cool. Like you said, a new tactical level. That would really, really make a difference.
It's Classic League. It's Classic League. You know, League has 5 bands per team at the moment. So you have, trying to remember, I think it's 3 initial bands, and then 2 further bands for the second half of the draft. Okay. And it sort of works similar to how Pokemon are drafted, just in ban format. So one team gets 1 ban, second team gets 2 bans, one team gets 2 bans, and then the other team gets the last ban of that first phase. You know, it takes a lot longer, but again, it's exciting. It's part of the narrative going into a story. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we will see that tactical depth, because actually in the early days of Unite, before the draft was even introduced, we had our own homebrew system in Double Trouble called stacking bans. Ooh. And so effectively what would happen is we would have both teams picking 1 Pokemon to ban each for the first game in a best of 3. And then for the second game, both of those banned Pokemon would still remain banned, but we would add another 2 Pokemon on top of that. So if it got to game 6, sorry, if it got to game 5, if it got to game 3 rather, then you'd have 6 Pokemon in total mm-hmm. banned. So it's an ever shifting dynamic of, do you go for the target ban and remove it completely off the table? Do you go for the more meta bans to, you know, whittle down the comfort picks to see how deep the player's knowledge of different options are?
Yeah.
I loved that. If there was one thing I would bring back, if it was easy to do so, and, you know, notwithstanding, of course, the current situation with draft, I'd love to see stacking bans back. But I think it's going to be unlikely given that we have a draft system in the game now.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Now, I like that idea, what you're talking about, the stacking bans. I like the aspect of putting players in that scenario where they now have to show their knowledge pool, right? Like how deep they understand cooldowns and move sets and passives and things of that nature. Because for me, man, I just love watching drafts. Like, I want to be a part of some drafts, man. It's so cool to watch. For anybody who hasn't, make sure you got to get in there and check them out, man, for real. So before we end here, a couple more things real quick. I'm trying to figure out this timeline, because we're talking about Overlord. At what point did Venusaur, like, because the wording you said was how he's bringing Venusaur back, making it meta, making it relevant. I'm paraphrasing. But when did Venusaur fall out? Because I thought there was a point when they buffed it and it was really good, and then they buffed Solar Beam. So maybe around the Lapras time, is that when it fell out? I'm not sure when Venusaur wasn't considered.
Yeah, I think it was near the beginning of this season. I want to say March or April. I mean, again, it's not to say that it wasn't tactically viable.
Yeah,
it was. It's just that compositions went a different way. You'd still see Venusaur every now and then, but it was a pick that you wouldn't see often, because there were Pokemon that could deal more damage, or the composition necessitated a true out-and-out defender or supporter tank rather than one of the tankiest attackers in the game. You know, you've got a situation now where you do have Lapras, and where you do have a lot of compositions that sort of form around the thinking that, well, all we have to do is outlast people in a team battle. We don't have to go for out-and-out damage. If we last longer than them, we'll win. That is Lapras in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. So to have Venusaur in there, it can react to enemy compositions as well before it's even set foot in the arena. Because if it goes into the arena thinking, well, we've got a squishy backline and we don't have much to compete against that, all of a sudden that you know, Venusaur's picking up Solar Beam and it can reach that back line from afar. If it's looking to be more of a close quarters thing and you really want to see that sustain come through with the damage to match it, then obviously Petal Dance is the way to go. And it, you know, sort of goes back to that earlier point about how I love new releases which have options. I think Umbreon's a great example of it, where each of its moves is completely different from the other. You can either go for a healing tank with Wish. You've got Mean Look, of course, which is an incredible trapping move. It's why it's so popular in the meta currently.
So mean.
You know, you have stuff like, you know, Snarl, and it's just a wonderfully diverse Pokemon that each individual will build differently.
Yeah, with that Umbreon, that definitely is a mean Pokemon right there, man. You better watch out.
Yeah.
That little circle comes down, it's over. And I love the boosted inside because it kind of heals you up too. It's pretty cool. I like it, man. So thank you for explaining that Venusaur aspect. Yeah, because you're right about that, about other Pokemon just dealing more damage. So by nature of strength, it falls back. Not that it's not a solid pick, but there are other characters in front of it. I get that. Okay. All right. Hey, I want to ask one last thing before we get out of here.
Sure.
Do you know, like, the calendar of when competitive starts? There's people like me who enjoy watching all of these tournaments and world championship aspirations, but like a lot of us don't know, like, when does it start or where can we find that information?
Oh, you mean Unite Championship?
Yeah, like UCS. In particular? Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea, but one would imagine just from deduction that we'd be looking at a similar start time to the last 2 years. So if I was to, again, sort of place my guess, an educated guess on the mast, I would say February 2024 to be safe. Until then, like I say, you know, folks like Unite Mics, Unite Battle Hub, Pump, you know, and hopefully Unite Championship Series themselves will be putting on lots of off-season events to keep you all tided over.
Yeah. Yeah, we're now off-season now. So, yeah, if it's February, I got you. So, yeah, September through the end of January. I see now. Okay. Yeah, plenty of time for lots of events, people to come check out Unite Battle Hub. That's going to be exciting. Like you said, Underdunk, we got our boys at Unite Mics doing all kind of things. And hopefully, more creators, organizers, and people who want to produce these events on any kind of scale, because I had so much fun when I was playing groups earlier today. And I just think the more folks who do it, the more enjoyment they'll have and see how much fun you can have playing this game. Because we know a lot of folks playing solo queue are struggling out there. So like you had mentioned, hit that Pokemon subreddit and you can find folks to play with. I think they should definitely.
This community can go as far as it wants, Mike. It can go as far as it wants. Don't get at each other's throats. Support each other. Support your grassroots. Support anybody who shows an inkling of interest in getting involved in the scene, because, you know, there is such a fantastic game here. And I believe at the moment it's being underutilized. It's our job to show everybody, including the people who make it, that it has a very, very bright future ahead if the correct steps are taken.
You know, my man, beautiful message. We're going to leave it on that. Thank you very much. That is amazing right there. So as we get up out of here, Just Relic, let the folks at home know where they can find you and your content online. Any content, go for it.
The place to find me most regularly is my Twitter at Just Relic, the Relic with a Q, of course. It really is as simple as that. I might return to streaming at some point. It's the same handle, but just with the twitch.tv /ir in front of it. Aside from that, I also have a YouTube channel, which I decided to start and then have unceremoniously stopped again until I could find more time to make videos. But that is youtube.com/justrelic_, because some person decided to steal my name. That is all the places that you will usually find me.
All right, love to hear it, man. My man, thank you once again.
Thank you for having me.
Like always, you guys can find me on Twitter, X, Twix, whatever we're gonna call it, at Mike Lowry. YouTube and Twitch, same name. Also in Pokemon Unite, changed my name back because Relic, I didn't tell you, I've gotten banned twice this year for my username. Really weird. Supposedly my Lowry means something in a different language. But anyway, it's all good. We changed the username back. Wow. Yeah, we're back now. Mike Lowry is in full effect. Surrender 5 is back. Shout out to Pokemon Attica. She's out there training in the Lucario Valleys, getting her strength up, you know what I'm saying, bodying people, picking up W's, like always. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out, watching live, watching on YouTube, downloading the audios, man. Appreciate you guys. And like always, we're going to end the show with a song and a quote. When you see us online, surrender at 5. All right. Yo, awesome show, Relic.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure. It was super fun to chat.
Great stuff, man. That was fun.